T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Championship Tuesday, game number two, watching some Braves and Dodgers with you. Here for the full four, as always. We ask you to download the Radio.com app because, well, we know you're not in your car and in the vehicle as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and this particular show. How do I do it? Very simple. Download the Radio.com app and listen today. Put that on your device. Take those smart phones you've got, that smart Alexa speakers, that tablet, your Commodore 64, your Swatch Watch, your Coleco, your Sega Genesis, your Game Boy. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something. That way you've got us on the go. Social media is all at 19 on the game. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Follow us there. As always, the best way to be a part of this particular show, it's through our personal Twitter handles. You can hit me up. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He's back in Midtown producing the show, as always. Jarvis is in the building, at JarvisD90. Well, a lot going on here on this Tuesday evening with you. As I said, we are watching Braves of baseball. We'll get into that in just a second here. We do have NFL football on tonight. In fact, the coverage is just starting right now, as a matter of fact. You've got Bills and Titans coming up here at in a few minutes. I don't know what the official kickoff. No, the coverage started at 7. I don't know what the official kickoff is. But Bills and Titans playing in another one of these weird, you know, obviously have to, you know, reconfigure the schedule. I'm going to ask a strange question. Do you think that there's any chance that as the NFL moves into some of its new deals with Netflix and some of these streaming services and stuff like that, do you think that Tuesday Night Football could be a reality? Do you think the NFL would look to monopolize and continue adding more programming Monday, Thursday, but also Tuesday? Or, you know, is that just too much to go from Tuesday, Sunday? You know, I mean, how does that work? But there, I saw that question posed, and I was like, because they're talking about all the Netflix streaming and all the different platforms that they're going to be having, you know, outside of the traditional ways to watch, you know, just basically watch, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, whatever, on your boombox or your Walkman or your tablet or your Sega Genesis, whatever you watch it on. So, I don't know. I mean, that would be something interesting to see. I'd be curious to see what kind of number all of that does. Again, I don't know how sexy the matchup is. I know Bills are playing really well, but and Titans are playing really well too, but I don't know how much national interest a Bills-Titans game. Of course, any worse than some of those Thursday night matchups, you know, when they put on, like, you know, Colts and Jaguars on a Thursday. So, but there is NFL football if you're taste needs all of that. Braves and Dodgers, we are in the bottom of the third as the Dodgers are still batting here. And, you know, Ian Anderson, it's 0-0 so far, but bases loaded right now with two outs for the Dodgers. We'll be keeping up to date all night long as this game, as we roll along here. And the Braves get out of it with a grounder to third base and Riley steps on the bag. But, you know, so far in this game, Ian Anderson has really had to battle. You know, one guy who's gotten on a couple of times, Mookie Betts, has gotten on both times. He's been up two walks, 15 pitches in his two at-bats. You know, Anderson's thrown a good amount of pitches. He's had to battle tonight. He hasn't given up any runs, hasn't given up, you know, much in the way of hits. You know, he just gave up a hit to Turner here. But, you know, he's done his job. He's gotten some big outs, you know, when he needed all of it, but it has been a battle. You know, second inning was a little bit easier, but it was like I think it was a 29-pitch first inning, then it was like a 13-pitch second inning. I didn't see what Anderson's numbers were for that inning, but he had the bases loaded, and, you know, one of them was a walk to Mookie Betts, so that was, I think that was a 7-pitch at bat, because he had Mookie Betts down 1-2 and then ended up losing him on it. So, you know, the pitch count is going to get up there. We'll see how long Brian Snitker decides to roll with him. Does he go to his bullpen a little bit earlier? I mean, he's not really been in trouble per se. He had the bases loaded, but still, bases loaded, two out, and still felt like he was in control, and he's still throwing nasty stuff out there. Still looks really good. I mean, he's very effective and very powerful out there. As of right now, the Braves bats have done zero thus far. Who's this guy that's pitching for the Dodgers? Gangrel? I thought he was like a wrestler back in the Attitude Era. He's the guy that brought Edging Christian along, right? And this is Gangrel or something like that. Who is it? Tony Gonzalez? I thought he was a tight end. I don't know. Whoever this guy is, it's not Clayton Kershaw. We know that because, well, Kershaw was scratched for this start because of back spasms. This has been an ongoing thing for Clayton Kershaw for the last few years now, has been these spasms these back spasms that he has. Now, he is not going to, it sounds like, reading the Dodger beat writers, he is not going to pitch in game three, but they say he is going to pitch later on in this series. I don't know what that means. Remember, they don't have any days off in this series. So this thing goes seven straight days. So I don't know what that means. He's going to pitch later on. I mean, would they, you know, hold him for an elimination game or, you know, I wonder how they're going to navigate the waters with that. While I understand Clayton Kershaw has certainly had his issues and problems at times in the playoffs, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And yes, folks, he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no question about the fact that he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when he retires. He's been the best pitcher in baseball for, you know, a decade. He's been that good. They haven't announced when he's going to pitch, but just Dave Roberts said that he will pitch at some point during the NLCS. So I guess if you're a Dodgers fan, that's good news, but kind of not so good news if you don't know when and where. The only thing we know is it wasn't tonight, and it's not going to be tomorrow for game three. So, and this is where it'll start to get interesting is after tonight. We know Kyle Wright for the Braves is going to start tomorrow. Then what happens from there? You know, who gets the, obviously it will probably be like one of the reliever types of deals, you know, like what Josh Tomlin was doing, one of those types of situations, and just kind of play it with your bullpen from there. But as we said, so far so good for Ian Anderson. Now in the top of the fourth, they got to get Ronald Acuna going here. He's got to get on base and create some havoc. You know, good thing about with Betts, you know, he hasn't run yet. You know, he got the walk, and then Seager struck out, and then Turner had a base hit, so that moved him to third. He had first and third there. Then he just got stranded at third, and then the first time when he was up in the first inning, walk, and then a wild pitch got him to second. He didn't run from there, So, you know, they've at least kept him, you know, on the bases. And I think Ronald Acuna, oh, he got lucky there because that might have been a swing. You know, Betts at least hasn't tried to take off and start running or anything like that, because that's where, you know, that's where guys like him, that's where, you know, they get these pitchers in trouble, is, you know, getting out there and starting to make some hay on the base pass. That's why you want to see Ronald Acuna, you know, if nothing else, draw a walk, or if nothing else, just, you know, a single. I don't need him to, you know, would I love to see the bombs away home run? Yes. But he's in a spot where with Ozuna and with Freeman behind him, I just need him to get on base. You know, and he does. He gets a walk here. So he didn't swing, so he's got the walk. So the Braves now have a base runner on. So that's what he's got to do. I mean, that's one of the things that if he's going to hit leadoff, I understand how much everybody loves the home run, but you got to get on base for Freddie and for Ozuna, at least in this year. You know, I mean, whoever decides to hit, you know, for the Braves in years to come. And by the way, coming up in the next segment, we will talk about what it's going to cost to try to keep Marcell Ozuna. Moving forward here, we'll look at some of the numbers of some of the other outfielders in Major League Baseball. So we'll talk about that. By the way, we will be joined a little bit later this hour, speaking of the NFL, Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk writer. He will join us, as obviously Falcons are in the midst of a coaching search, I guess, for right now. I don't know if they're really how much in the midst they are of it today, but Raheem Morris takes over. We'll hear from him later on in the Falcons of flyover, as he's now the interim coach for this team with 11 games to go. But we'll talk to Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com and get his thoughts about maybe some of the names that are, you know, not just necessarily for the Falcons, but who are some of the names that people are going to be talking about for head coaching vacancies as we move along in the season here. Also, too, we'll talk to our buddy from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Ken Segura is going to join us at 8:20. We will talk some Georgia Tech football with him, coming off a big win this past Friday over Louisville, as they have, I guess they're pretty good. What's that team, Clemson? Are they ranked? I haven't seen. I'm not sure. I'll have to check my Google to see if check my Google machine to see if Clemson's ranked or not. I'm not really sure if they are. I've heard of them. They have some quarterback that some people like or something like that around here or whatever. But we'll talk to Ken Segura tonight and talk a little Georgia Tech football with you. But of course, we'll keep you up to date all night long with Atlanta Braves baseball. As you know, Braves, by the way, in all six of their postseason games have scored first. So still 0-0, top of the fourth with a man on first and nobody out. And you're top of the order with Acuna on first and still Freddie and Ozuna and Darno yet to go. So we'll see if the Braves can break through here. So certainly, you know, you want to keep the pressure on. And with no Kershaw tonight, you know, certainly an ideal opportunity to try to get a game here. And, boy, 2-0, you know, 2-0 in a series like this feels like a monumental lead. And, you know, there's no going on the road. There's no flying home. There's no going back. You know, there's no travel or nothing like that. So, you know, it's not like, you know, teams get a day to just kind of exhale and kind of regroup or anything like that. You know, if the Braves can get up 2-0 in this series, boy, you're really putting your foot down on what this team, you know, asking what the Dodgers have to do to try to come back. Because they got to win 4-6 at that point. All right, when we get back, what will it take to keep Marcell Ozuna? I'll give you some numbers. We'll report. You decide. It's all coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 99.9 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 99.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out on this Tuesday evening. Man, we went to commercial break too quickly. As soon as we were literally going to break, Freddie Freeman homers down the right field line. Braves now lead 2-0 over the Dodgers, and looking a lot different the second time through for the lineup. For who's this guy, Gangrel, former WWE wrestler? Does he, like, when he comes out, like, does he have the blood that comes down like the Brood had, or how does that work? So
it's anyway, Mark Paul Gosselin from Saved by the Bell.
Oh,
no, Zach.
Yeah. His name is Zach. Yes, Zach. That's right. Yes, good call, Jarvis. I forgot. Zach he's sure grown a lot of hair.
I know, man, and it's going darker, too.
Yeah, it has. Well, we all are. But anyway, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Radio.com app site. Listen to us on the go. Of course, at 929 The Game on social media, at JMCH316, at Jarvis D. 90. Yeah, it looks a lot different the second time through. Acuna walks, Freeman homers, Ozuna struck out, Ozzy got a base hit. He's standing at first base. I guess the one guy they don't have to worry about is the guy playing left field anyway. So we'll keep you up to date all night long of everything that's going on. By the way, how is a 160 with 10 strikeouts and no walks? So is that promo still wrong? Or I know Sean's back there. Is that promo still wrong? Or just curious to see if that's still good or not. So, yeah, just wanted to make sure. All right. Marcelo Zuna, as we watch, as he literally was kind of funny because literally as soon as Freddie hit the home run, like three pitches later, Ozuna had struck out. So, Jarvis, you can kill the music back there. Obviously, on the one-year, $18 million deal, Oh no, I can hear it. Trust me, I can listen. I could give you the whole lyrics of that song because the whole song was playing in my headset for whatever reason. Oh, okay, all right. Well, it was in my headset though. I didn't know if we were rocking out for a while or what. I mean, so anyway, obviously Marcelo Zuna on the 1 year, $18 million deal, and it was a terrific season for him in this shortened pandemic season. Now, you know, a couple of things here as we look at some of these numbers about maybe what it will take to bring him back. You know, even Marcelo Zuna admitted that he spent this whole kind of pandemic time and allowed him to get into better physical shape and get himself ready. So, you know, he was ready to go when this shortened season came along. He has battled injuries the last couple of years. You know, we talked about the fact that, you know, he's only been about 127, 135 game player the last couple of years. So, you know, he's been a guy that'll miss, you know, 25, 30 games a season the last couple of years. Now, there's no doubt about how good his production was this year. And I know fans have kind of fallen in love with him. You know, the question becomes, can he do this for the long term over 162 games? Because right now, as it is, because of his production and the team he's on, somebody, whether it's the Braves or whoever, are going to pay him a good chunk of money. Now that becomes the question is, what kind of money are we talking about? So just to give you an idea of outfielders in Major League Baseball contracts. Now, is it fair to say that he's not Christian Yelich, Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts, or Mike Trout, right? We can all agree that he ain't one of those four guys because those guys are between 25 and $36 million a year. Trout's 12 for 426, Betts is 12 for 365, Harper's 13 for 330, and even Yelich is 7 for 188. But then you start to get into the next group of outfielders. Now, I don't think he's going to get the Jason Hayward, and I don't know if anybody will ever get another Jason Hayward type of contract. How did Jason Hayward fleece the was it the Cubs that he fleeced, or was it the Cardinals that actually signed him to that deal in 2016? 8 years, $184 million, $23 million a year. Whew. But listen to some of these names about where you're looking at outfielders in Major League Baseball, okay? I don't think he's going to get the Yoenis Cespedes deal. That was four for $110 million. How did he get $27.5 million a year? By the way, he signed that contract at age 31. These are the couple of numbers that are interesting to look at. Charlie Blackmon, at 31 years old, in 2018, signed his deal of 6 years and $108 million. So that's $18 million a year for Charlie Blackmon. Justin Upton, remember him? Former Atlanta Brave. At 30 years old, he signed in 2018 a five-year, $106 million deal. That's $21.2 million a year. Will Myers, back in 2017, at 26 years old, signed 6 years at $83 million. That's only $14 million a year. Dexter Fowler, at 30 years old, signed in 2017, 5 years, $82.5 million. That's $16.5 million. And Lorenzo Cain, at 31 years old in 2018, signed a five-year, $80 million deal. That's $16 million a year. Now, why do I bring up the age? Well, number one, come about mid-November, I think it's November 12th or somewhere right around that area, Marcell Ozuna will turn 30 years old. So that's why I wanted to give you the ages, because that kind of gives you a little bit of perspective about when some of these guys signed their deal. Now, we know that he turned down multiple years with, I believe it was the Cincinnati Reds, because they ended up signing Nick Castellanos for 4 years and $64 million, which is $16 million a year. Now, I doubt very seriously that Marcell Ozuna is going to have to settle for less than $16 or $18 million a year. My guess would be, if you're talking about 4 or 5 years, it's going to be around that $18 million deal for it. So let's say if it was 4 years at $18 million, that's what, $72 million. Would you be willing to go with Marcell Ozuna for, let's say, for $72 to $80 million? That's $18 to $20 million a year. 74 for 72 on the low side, 4 for 80 on the high side. Number one is, I wonder if the Braves would open up their pocketbook like that. For a team that is in a top eight market and has the battery and all that, and by the way, the owner, Liberty Media, and their CEO or whatever, John Malone, he's only worth about $14 billion. Well, I take that back. I think he's worth $12.2 billion. I don't want to overhype how many billions that he has, but I think he has like $12.2 billion. So, it's not like, you know, Liberty Media is scratching together and trying to find, but we know in some ways it is an asset for the Braves. So they love to cry poor, even though they've got all these things going on and they still stay, you know, in the middle tier of payroll. But if this team wins the World Series, how do you sell your fans on not opening up the purse strings and going after it? Especially when you know that you have a lot of your core signed up and ready to go. You know, Freddie signed up. Ozzie and Ronald are signed up. All of your young pitchers are still in their, you know, minor league contracts, you know, that aren't even an arbitration. So it's not like you got to worry about Fried or Soroka or Ian Anderson or anybody like that anytime soon. Dansby's going to be coming up. You need to get him signed. You'll free up some money, because if they bring Nick Markakis back, they should fold the franchise. I don't care if they win the World Series. If they bring Nick Markakis back next year, they should be the Major League owners should ban them from playing next year if they bring Nick Markakis back, because he's a below average major leaguer at best. That's being charitable right now. So whatever his salary was, a few million bucks, that should be opened up as well out there. So they didn't want to go with Donaldson on the fifth year of his deal. You know, supposedly they were willing to go the fourth year, but the fifth year, I guess, which I think was an option year with the Twins, was a deal breaker. And because he got hurt in Minnesota, it was like, see, that's not a fair comparison. You can't change up the time-space continuum of, okay, he got hurt in Minnesota, that automatically means he would get hurt in Atlanta. You can't do that. Now, is he injury prone? Yes. So not a surprise. But Marcell Ozuna has had some issues staying healthy either. So you have to decide, do I trust him to be part of this team for the next 4 or 5 years, given the fact that the last 2 years of his 162-game schedule, he struggled to play more than 130, 35 games out of all of it. The other thing is, what happens to the DH in the National League? You know, obviously, I think a lot of teams would rather have him DH. I don't think he's as bad. I keep saying this, but we've had Gabe on and talked to some other folks that you know, talk about he's a very much a below average defensive outfielder. I don't think he's as bad. Maybe I just don't look at the metrics right, but when I watch him play, and I've only got 48 years of watching guys play baseball with a trained eye, okay? After watching him play, I don't think he's the greatest outfielder, but he's a left fielder. He's a left fielder. I don't have to have a go. As long as I've got Pache and Ronald Acuna in my two key outfield spots, I'm good to go. And by the way, there's no question about the fact, given Markakis and Enciarte this year, that Pache has to start in center field next year, right? Like, there can't be a debate on this, right? I don't even know how we could have a discussion about the fact of, okay, what are my two outfield spots? Okay, Pache is the starting center fielder next year. Acuna is my starting right fielder, right? I don't care what they want to tell me for left. Ozuna, Markakis, Duvall, you know, whoever. Drew Waters, I don't care what. But center and right have to be those two guys, correct? So I've got no issue if you're talking about, because relatively speaking, even 4 for 20, which is $80 million, is not a monster deal in terms of baseball. Not compared to what the real elite players of baseball get into. The Trouts, the Betts, the Harpers, the Yelages. You know, I can't even begin to imagine the idea that Marcell Ozuna would get a $25 million deal. Boy, if you pay 5 or 4 for, you know, 100 or 125, you get what you deserve at that point. And I don't think you're going to get 5 good years, you know, out of a guy like Marcell Ozuna. So if you tell me 4 for 72, 4 for 80, yeah, I'm okay with that. And this team should have no excuses about opening up pocketbooks next year, given the success that they've had and what they'll be looking like going into next year. All right, when we get back, we'll talk to ProFootballTalk.com writer Josh Alper. We'll get some of his thoughts about maybe some potential coaching candidates, I should say, for the Atlanta Falcons. It's all next. John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. Of course, radio.com apps, how you listen to us on the go. Social media at 92.9 The Game. Hit me up at JMSH316. He's at JarvisD90. Keep you up to date on everything going on. Braves and Dodgers now in the top of the fifth inning. As Atlanta still leads 2-0 off the Freddie Freeman home run, Ian Anderson just kind of plugging right along. So far, so good. A lot of strikeouts in this game. Both teams have struck out 12 times already through less than five innings out of it, not even four and a half full innings. So, and Markakis is up, so he can add to the total. Anyway, well, obviously Atlanta Falcons made their move on Sunday night, the second team to announce that they were looking for a new head coach. So lots of questions as we move forward with these final, yes, 11 games still to go. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. He is a writer for ProFootballTalk.com. Catch his work there. Josh Alper joins us. Follow him on Twitter at Josh Alper. As always, Josh, appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for spending a few minutes in Atlanta with us.
My pleasure.
So, you know, the obvious name that everybody keeps gravitating to is Eric Bieniemy. And I do think an offensive-minded guy is the route for this franchise. But who are some names that are out there that you think are maybe, you know, even if they're not maybe fits for Atlanta, but, you know, coordinators that are starting to get the buzz of potential head coach?
Well, I think, you know, I think as this season goes on, some of that will change. But one guy I think that could figure his way into the mix if the Bucks are good is Byron Leftwich. I think in a team like Atlanta, if you were to want to stick with Matt Ryan, a guy who's worked with veteran quarterbacks and Palmer and Carson Palmer in Arizona and Brady might hold some appeal. I think Bieniemy is obviously, you know, the hottest name in town and is going to continue to be as long as the Chiefs continue to be as good as they are. And you know, and I think though that, you know, some of the other names, I think Carolina, it may be too soon for Joe Brady to move up to a head coaching job with 1 year of NFL coordinator experience and 1 year in college. But it wouldn't be shocking based on some of the other hires we've seen. You know, Josh McDaniels, his name is going to come up. Whether or not he's going to actually ever move on from New England, we don't know. But he's another name that I think you have to keep an eye out for. And you know, and then you have some other guys like Deuce Staley with the Eagles has stepped up and done some of that job when Doug Peterson was out with COVID this year. And I don't think it's out of the question that, that Raheem Morris winds up in contention, but I do think it has to be, you know, a really incredible next 11 games, and I just don't see that playing out that way.
Josh, you know, talk to us here in Atlanta a little bit about, you cover the league as a whole, about Eric Bieniemy. I mean, is he a guy that, that we just assume is wanting to be a head coach? Do you think that he's going to really just kind of cherry pick because he has always been the hot name for the last really like year or two? You know, what, where do you kind of see him fitting in, what do you see him wanting to do?
Well, I think he wants to be a head coach. I think he definitely does. I think he expressed that when he, you know, after interviewing last year, he was gracious and magnanimous about the opportunity, but you know, you don't do that if you're not looking to get the, get that job. And I think, you know, you look at the guys who have worked for Andy Reid, you know, you talk a lot about coaching trees. These guys are all different, and you never know exactly how it's going to play out when they're in the big job. But Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy have worked out well. Other guys that have been in that world, Pat Shurmur has been a head coach. There's John Harbaugh worked for Andy Reid back in the day. There's a long history of those guys that as they move up and as they get that kind, that level of responsibility under Andy Reid, for them to do that and have the success that he's had running this offense, obviously Reid has a hand in it. But to have done that at that level, that this is an offensive league. You want a guy who's innovative and a guy who's worked with as innovative a mind as Andy Reid. And that's, you know, that's the appeal of Eric Bieniemy, on top of the fact that he's a guy that everybody likes. No, you know, you don't hear anybody saying nasty, you know, nasty stuff about him and the way he is, the way he interacts with players, nothing like that. There's never been anything like that. So that's another big positive on his resume.
Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk, ProFootballTalk.com, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I'm just throwing this out with no evidence or anything like that. But if the, what if the Chiefs won the Super Bowl again? Would there be any possibility that Andy Reid would retire and then Bieniemy would just take over that job?
I think a very, very, very slim one. Based on what Andy Reid said last year about what the relationship with Patrick Mahomes means to him, and what I think that you would have to look at what you would have a window to accomplish with Patrick Mahomes at this point in his career if he were to have two Super Bowls and an MVP award, at least one MVP award through the first four seasons, I think you would be very inclined to stick around for at least the next four and see if you, you know, couldn't write some new chapter in the history of the NFL.
Josh, when you look at this Falcons franchise, one of the big discussions here locally is Matt Ryan, who, you know, truthfully has not played all that well the last couple of games. You know, Seattle game looks good on paper, but there is a lot of empty numbers that go into that because they were down 31-12 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, it's just, you know, really playing catch up. So, you know, it's been kind of a mixed bag this year. And since the MVP year, you know, it's not been bad. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, when you have 4,500 yards and 25 touchdowns that you're a bad quarterback, but you know, it just feels like the last year or so, and part of that's offensive line. We know the reasons, but the reality is that this team is battling for potentially a number one or number two pick. Matt Ryan's contract is pretty prohibitive from moving on from him, but do you still think it would make sense to take a quarterback really high in the draft, even with his contract?
Yes, I think it's something you'd have to do. And if you're first overall this year and Trevor Lawrence is sitting there for you, then you take him. I think that to do anything else is overthinking this. And that's no slight on Matt Ryan, because I think that Matt Ryan has done a lot of great things in Atlanta, and he's had a wonderful career there. But you have to look at what the future of the franchise is. With a new GM, a new coach, they're almost certainly going to want to take things in their own direction, if that's possible. Now, if that's not, if you wind up with a pick where that's less sure, where perhaps there's someone who says, all right, let's see what we have with Matt Ryan. Maybe we pick a quarterback, and maybe we deal with this down the road. But, you know, if Matt Ryan's going to want to continue to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, there are ways that you can work on a contract and work out a deal with the team. If he's going to be moving on and they want him at a different number and he wants to go to a different team, I think there are a lot of ways that it can work out. But I think the Falcons can't close any doors based on the contract of a player from a previous regime.
Josh, as part of this, too, is the fact that it's not just a head coach that this team is going to be looking for. General manager is the other spot, obviously. Are there some names that that you think are out there that are kind of guys that, are being groomed for general manager positions in the NFL that the Falcons may be taking a look at?
Well, look, I think you always look at organizations there, and there, you know, George Patton from the Vikings gets interviews every year, hasn't left. Nick Caserio from the Patriots hasn't left. You have Trent Kirshner in Seattle, has been doing that for several years. You want to go to those kinds of franchises because they're the winning franchises. There's a there's a reason so many GMs had that New England DNA, as Thomas Dimitroff did. I think that you want to go to those organizations. You want to go to those teams that are winning. Kansas City, who's working with Brett Veach? Who's the next guy in that front office who you want to take and build from scratch with? I think the other name that comes up, and I don't know that he'd want to leave now that he's finally working Monday Night Football, but Lewis Riddick's name has come up in conjunction with jobs in the past as someone who, he's a former NFL personnel exec, obviously, you know, very media savvy, similar to John Lynch with the 49ers, as someone who could come in and bring a different perspective.
Josh Alper joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Josh, last thing for you as, you know, we continue to look through, you know, 11 more games. We've got a game tonight because of COVID rescheduling. You know, how risky are we getting here with this idea of being able to kind of be flexible and reschedule games are? I mean, obviously, because of where we're at and we're just finishing up, you know, a quarter plus a game of the season, you know, bye weeks, you know, really haven't come into play. But, you know, we saw the Jets that, you know, test positive. Falcons had to put their second-round pick on the COVID-19 list. Thankfully, it's just one player. But, you know, we are kind of moving into that kind of dangerous territory where all of a sudden we're going to look up and, you know, we're going to have to try to figure some things out if games can't be played. Do you think that 18th week is really the most feasible and practical thing that may happen in the NFL for trying to make sure this gets done?
I think that it is, as long as you don't have a, you know, and I think we got real close with the Titans this week, but as long as you don't have a prolonged run with a team that missing multiple games, I think that 18th week, whether you slotted it in before the real week 17 because you'd want to have that full week of action with playoff spots on the line, or if you played it, you know, after the current week 17 and reconfigured the schedule somehow, I think it's a very real possibility, and I think it's one that, you know, the NFL would go to before saying, all right, we'll have some teams with 15 games and some teams with 16 games, because frankly, there's no time pressure to get it done, because if the Super Bowl has to move a week, so the Super Bowl moves a week, you have a week buffer in between. There's a lot of moving parts, obviously, and it's silly to go through each one of them, but that extra week makes a lot of sense from the let's get 16 games done for everybody. If things go haywire beyond that, I don't know what happens from there.
Follow him on Twitter, at Josh Alper. You can find his work at ProFootballTalk.com. He's a writer there. Join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, Josh, appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta. Be safe, be well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Have a great one.
When we get back for the top of the hour, by the way, Braves score another run as Christian Pache doubles in Nick Markakis, of all people. Yes, Markakis walked and scored on a Pache double. Isn't it nice to see actually Pache get some playing time and actually show what he could do? But anyway, yeah, Wheels Cakes, as I just tweeted out at JamesH316, Wheels Cakes, NLCS MVP. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, the future of Matt. We talked a little bit about it with Josh. What's the reality? We'll talk about that next. Chuck Reshow, Sports Radio, Night to the Game, and on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.